Let's take a break from debating gay rights to celebrate an unmarried man who hung out with 12 dudes.
And a prostitute. Happy Easter. That's why I was laughing.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
You're going to hell. And by the way, it's Mary true. Magdalene was not a prostitute. She I'm just lying. Saying. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back, ladies and gents, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast. And we're streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom. I'm your host. Welcome all. I thought I was going to say, like, do we have a guest? No, we don't. Not today. But anyway, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
hola, J-Bear.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
It's going to be, we've got a lot of stories today. And a lot of them have to do with a lot of things that are happening in a multitude of states, in a plethora of states. Is that a right way to use the word?
Yeah. Plethora?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because you know me.
Plethora, it means a lot.
Okay. So yeah, a plethora of states. And so we're going to definitely be talking about those and you know, going down the list, because there's a lot of things that are being introduced in different states. But I'll just quickly just throw it to the table. Nick, how are you?
I'm good.
You good?
Nothing really to report. We all know I got my vaccine last week.
Yes. Waiting on your second one.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. Had a nice weekend. Didn't do anything too crazy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking behind me just to make sure everything was a-okay.
I know, you can turn around the entire show. It's fine.
Oh, she is nasty. But that's okay. You know, we'll call her later.
But yeah, no, I don't really think I have anything funny or fun to report.
No, that's okay. You don't have to. You know, short show.
Mm-hmm.
Short.
How about you, Jay? How are you, my darling?
Well, as I was telling you guys earlier, busy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Busy
is good.
Did some work in the kitchen, added some additional cabinetry.
It's like Betty Crocker turning into a fucking carpenter, this one.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm handy homo. He's got to be BOMO.
Probably.
Yeah, why not?
we'll have to figure that one out.
Handy BOMO, handy homo. BOMO,
yeah.
So.
I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
By
handy BIMO, handy BIMO.
Yeah. We'll have to make one up. We'll figure it out.
Either Definitely. Way.
He's handy and he's by. And he's.
By the way.
By the way, podcast. Isn't that a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah,
no,
it is.
By the by.
Podcast,
I've heard about that. Yeah.
And they do amazing things, and they do these like retreats to like all of these resorts for like bi couples and stuff like that. And it turns into this amazing party. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. We had them on the show.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago.
Nice.
And from time to time, we'll get emails from them saying, hey, we're having an event at so-and-so. Typically, I think they do them in the Caribbean and then in Mexico.
Nice.
But they're really supposedly happily happening events. So
a lot of schlongs, a lot of schlorts, mm-hmm, you know.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for those of you who are practicing Catholics, our apologies for the opener, but we thought it was funny, and so you know what we think counts.
I mean, it's not wrong though.
But you're not wrong, you know.
He was unmarried.
Well, rumor has it. So let's go back to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute. Rumor has it that she was Jesus Christ's wife, that they were married, and that, you know,
Holy Grail was a child.
Oh, listen, this isn't Angels and Demons or what was the other movie?
Yeah. The Da Vinci Code?
The Da Vinci Code. So.
But that's where a lot of the information is gathered from, and that's what they use in those movies.
Well, so. I mean, you know, of course, there's conspiracy theories when it comes to the Roman Catholic Church and all of the secret documents that they hold in their vault and all that good stuff. But that's not what we're going to talk about today, because I don't want to give the Pope an ounce of time on the show today because of the shenanigans and shittery that they have been, you know, doing for the past 2 years. Either they come out in support of certain things and they take it back, then they come out in support again, then they take it back. And I'm like, you know what? Our lives are not fucking yo-yos. We don't need this shit.
It's not even taking it back. It's like every time he speaks, he says something and then he's like, but I didn't really say that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like very like convoluted.
It's almost like he wants to make a statement to cause a ruckus and then sort of kind of walk it back.
And yeah, say, that's he's not like, what we're I really trying meant. To be progressive, but then we're really not.
Right. And I'm like, I don't have time for that.
No.
There is no time for that in our lives. And you know what? We did fine without you. We're strong. We're a very, very resilient community. And we don't need affirmation from a church that doesn't support us to let us know that we are good people, that we are paying our taxes and being, you know, good civil citizens and doing what we need to do. And we don't need you to validate the fact that we know we're awesome. So, I mean, at least I pay my taxes. I don't know. Do you?
I mean, I pay my taxes. I'm just saying.
You pay your taxes and you pay your taxes, you know, so it's like, well, I mean.
He's like, yeah, it hurts.
Anyway, like I said, that is not what we're going to talk about today because I don't want to give that bitch an ounce of time. Anyway, so let's go back. We'll jump into stories because.
Well, I mean, do you want to talk about Saturday?
Do we want to talk about Saturday? What happened Saturday?
I don't know. You hosted.
Well, it was a very, very beautiful day. That's right. Mm-hmm. So it was gorgeous during the day. And then all of a sudden it got really cold at night. But mm-hmm. we turned on a little fire and huddled around it. Socially distant. But we did. Let's see. What do? We hung out outside on the patio for the first time since last year. Mm-hmm. We had ribeye steaks mm-hmm. with veggies, like onions
and peppers. And
red peppers that mm-hmm. we sauteed on the grill.
So good.
It was delicious. And then you prepared a caprese
salad.
Caprese
yeah.
salad.
It was so good.
It was. And if you're not familiar with what it is, it's basically slices of tomato with some mozzarella on the top, slices of mozzarella. And then you put basil. And then what Nick did was he found this vinaigrette reduction.
Balsamic reduction.
Right.
With olive oil, a little salt and pepper. Oh, let it sit for a little bit. And go for it. It
was divine. So,
so good.
So it was only four of us. And, you know, we sat outside. We shot the shit. And, you know. It was a nice time.
It was.
I missed it. Mm-hmm. I missed it. Because, you know, we have our pod of people that we know are doing the right thing. And so we're always hanging out together. At least that's what we did throughout all of last season in the summertime. And so we figured, hey, it's gorgeous outside. Why not kick it off in March, even though it's going to be 32 degrees in about 3 days overnight. Mm-hmm. So we're going right back to the cold. But it's expected. It's March, right? We don't really start seeing a lot of warmer weather until at least late April into May. And so it was to be expected, but it was nice. It was. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, no, we had a good time.
Yeah. Did you enjoy your steak?
It was so fucking.
I know, right? It's like butter. Mm. And Jay Bird over here got himself a very juicy piece of steak as well.
Black Angus steak.
Oh my God. He showed us a picture. I was like, what the fuck is that? That's the whole cow.
Yeah, I ate it for 2 days. I actually finished this.
He didn't sleep. Yeah. He just like gnawed on it.
It was amazing. I was home alone. Everybody kind of was doing other stuff. I stood home, I worked on my cabinetry, and then for dinner, I treated myself to a nice, big, juicy steak with some asparagus,
that was
mashed potatoes. Mm. It was a good meal.
Definitely a big, juicy
slept
steak.
Slept like a baby.
I'm sure.
With, sure. like, the steak hanging out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Baby shark, doo 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 doo. Baby shark, doo doo
doo doo doo. Oh, my God. I cannot. Yeah. I mean, we're still feeling the residual sleepiness of the steaks. It's like, if you notice, we're very monotone today and very mildly, like, mild, if that's even a thing.
Don't say that because boop.
Yeah, no. No, but listen, we're about to do what we came here to do. 9 minutes into the show, we're going to go right into stories. So, who's going to be the first state that we throw under the bus? Because I'm thinking, why not Arkansas?
Yeah.
Oh, so Mama Kim, watch your back, girl. Because this one's over here sending us stories, too. He wants to take your job.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, but Mama Kim, she's adorable and I love her. She emailed me she texted me. She goes like, hey guys, I got more stories I need to send over. I just need to make sure which email should I use, right? Because we've got the pro email and then the Gmail original email that we had. And I was like, you can use the pro email. Yeah, because I think, I don't know what happened. Maybe.
Can't we just set it up to forward and turn one off?
I think we should. But that's why we started promoting the pro email, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right. So why don't we throw Arkansas under the bus? I was going to say Kansas, and then I just, you know, shifted over. So Arkansas, the legislature there passes a bill to allow EMTs and doctors to refuse to treat LGBTQ peoples. So according to the story, which was published on LGBTQNation.com, a proposed legislation that is being called one of the most extreme and deadly anti-LGBTQ healthcare bills seen in years is headed to the governor's desk in Arkansas, meaning they passed it, but the governor hasn't signed it yet. We don't know if they will or he will. SB 289, dubbed as the Medical Ethics and Diversity Act, seeks to give medical workers a right to refuse providing health care to someone because of the worker's religious, moral, or ethical beliefs. That could open the door for LGBTQ people to face denial from life-saving services from doctors, nurses, and EMTs. And I call bullshit. Because I think it's... So, as doctors, as nurses, you take an oath to, you know, do right by any individual that walks through that door that needs your assistance. You are there as a trained professional who can save someone's life. And it doesn't matter whether they're black, green, blue, gay, what religious affiliation they have, you have an obligation to service the communities in which you work in. Mm-hmm.
So here's the problem, right? So you have Arkansas Representative Brant Smith, who believes that SB 289 provides a solution and a remedy to protect the rights of medical workers.
But.
Why? What rights are you protecting right now?
The right to religion. You know that's what it means. It's just that's not what they're saying, right?
But like, how do you know if somebody comes in and they are, you know, in a car crash, you can't just be like, oh, I think this person's gay and not... help them.
So that's what I'm saying. So that,
or like, what if somebody has COVID and they come in? You don't know that they're gay unless they disclose that to you. Like, what the fuck?
Right. But let's not also forget the fact that in the US of A in 2015, we affirmed that marriage equality was the law of the land. So if you walk into a hospital in Arkansas with your husband, which is legally your husband, you can be denied service because you walked in with your husband.
You know, I would not be denied service.
Oh, honey. We know. Jay, what are your thoughts on this? I think
it's bullshit for starters. Right. But, you know, and then, you know, as they
come into that mic, girl.
Yeah, I'm kind of reading along as you guys are talking. You know, but this right here just kind of, I don't know, it blows my mind. Doctors told not to test for STIs that affects many gay men so it doesn't become a super bug. What
if you don't test and you let these men go untested and them not knowing their status, then it could become a super bug. Yeah. It could become a super spreader. Right. So
yeah, I got home last week after the show and I'm kind of just doing some research, of course, you know, and this popped up. This popped up on one of my Facebook ads.
So the funny thing is you start talking about things and all of a sudden you start seeing things.
Yeah.
But it's crazy.
Sure enough, I send it to you guys.
Right.
And I was like, you know, some of the shit that these legislators and sometimes I have to take a step back and kind of take a deep breath. Cause you just want to go on a rant and just tell them what the fuck is wrong with you? Mm-hmm.
Brant Smith is like an old white man.
Yeah, right. But you know, and again, they use the religious standpoint, you know, and try to use that as a bias for the decisions that they're making for individuals that they're supposed to be servicing.
Right. Like when you think about, for example, the Arkansas State House Minority Leader, Tippi McCullough, she's a Democrat, commented in response to the passing of the bill, why do you need a remedy for something that's not happening? She mm-hmm. believes that the law will give license to those who will use this to discriminate and or to make folks feel uncomfortable in a variety of ways. And I agree. I mean, you know, although some may provide you service, they may do it with a disdain for who you are as a person, and therefore you may not get the absolute most best treatment that is available because of the fact that you could be gay, or you could be black, or you could be trans, or you could be green or blue. And it's disturbing. It's disturbing to see that more and more we're seeing a lot of states start passing laws specifically geared to, they don't say it does, but you can tell that the wording and the verbiage is specifically geared to members of the LGBTQ community. And that is disturbing in the sense, because this is not the only state. We've got a couple of more states that are doing some crazy shit. And, you know, for the folks in our community, wake the fuck up. Our trans community is under attack. Big time. We've got over 30 states.
But this isn't
states.
Just the trans community. But no. Right.
This bill is not specifically towards the trans community. It's for all LGBTQ folks. But we've got a lot of stories that are geared towards the trans community, with bills that are being passed in over 30 states right now, have bills either that have passed or that are currently circulating through their local houses of government that are restricting trans rights. And that is disturbing on its own. So, yeah, so that's one state. So do we want to continue to,
I just wanted to like read something about the Hippocratic Oath. So doctors take an oath about, you know, serving and
I love you.
Why?
Because right before I came on air, I thought about looking for the Hippocratic Oath so that we could read it. But you stop reading my mind. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So I will respect the privacy of my patients for their problems and not disclose to me that the world may know. Most especially must I trend with care in matters of life and death. If it is given to me to save a life, all thanks. But it may also within my power to take a life. This awesome responsibility must be faced with great humbleness and awareness of my own fragility. Above all, I must not play God.
Right. But that's technically what they're doing.
They are trying to allow medical professionals to go above the Hippocratic Oath and say, well, not necessarily play God, but say, I'm disrespecting
my religion.
By you being gay, or by, like, if I walk, you know, if I came in and I had my rainbow tattoo on my foot, right? By him having a rainbow tattoo on his foot, I'm not going to save his life.
Right.
Like, that's them playing God. They have a responsibility to not only save a life, but they have the responsibility that weighs on their shoulders to take a life as well.
Right.
And well, this bill,
it falls in the same thing as treating, you know, being a person of color and having to treat someone that comes in with a Nazi swastika tattooed on their body.
Right.
You do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. It's your job. You're not there to judge them on what that tattoo is or that marking is. You're there to do a specific job. Mm-hmm. And you know, the way they wrote the bill, you know, stating that it means that they could claim that they consciously object to treating a gay or trans person, and that the Medical Ethics and Diversity Act doesn't explicitly exclude such use.
So they're
basically working around the wording, the language, mm-hmm. in order to turn around and fuck people over like they normally do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I will say that I do believe that the Hippocratic Oath needs to be updated in the sense that there is some type of line that says, I will treat not based on discrimination of this, right. this, and this. You know right. what I mean? Like, make it specific so that when the doctor takes the oath, whether there is a law in place or not, a doctor has the responsibility, because they took the oath, to treat everybody equally.
Well, I mean, when you think about, for example, the whole thing with abortion and how certain states are making it very hard for women to have access to legalized abortion. They're in essence making that decision for them and saying, okay, well, if you're going to still have the right to abort, then we're going to make sure that there is no facility that can provide that service within 200 miles so that you could be discouraged from having such abortion. And so when you think about, for example, the Hippocratic Oath and a doctor saying, you know, I need to make sure that she is safe. She could be potentially having a pregnancy that's putting her life at risk. And therefore, the parent or the mother or the person who is having that child takes the decision upon themselves to terminate the pregnancy. And as a doctor, he has a right to make sure that she does that mm-hmm. safely. And then the state comes in and says, no, you can't do that. And you have to jump through all these hoops in order to do that and putting people's lives at risk. So it's a catch 22. It's like,
it also says that, as a physician, justice dictates that physicians provide care to all who need it. And it is illegal for a physician to refuse service based on race, ethnicity, gender, religion, or sexual orientation. But sometimes patients request services that are antithetical to a physician's personal beliefs, which I'm not quite sure what that means. I'm going to look that word up because I don't know what that word means.
So maybe I'm thinking it could be something like elective in a sense. Like it's allowing the patients to have like elective surgeries, etc. Maybe something along those
lines. Directly oppose someone's beliefs. Yeah. So that being said, they still have to provide care.
Right. I mean, the only time I think that a doctor shouldn't have a right to force life on someone is if someone has a DNR, mm-hmm. right? If someone's religious beliefs prevents them from receiving blood transfusions, et cetera, for example, they're like the Jehovah's Witness. They can't receive blood transfusions. It's against their religion. And so therefore, if you're in a hospital and you need a blood transfusion to save your life, then they can't do it, right? The family.
Unless the family says do it.
But the family won't, right? And so physicians will try to discourage the family and say, you know, this is a life-saving procedure. It's very common. It's very effective. But sometimes, you know, they have to let someone die because the family will say, no, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's against our religious beliefs. And to me, I can't wrap my head around a religion that doesn't support making sure that someone is alive to continue to thrive and be loved and also love your family members mm-hmm. and to spend quality time on earth. To me, I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, no, I mean, the only concept behind that to me that would make sense is that they think that it's God's way of telling them that it's their time to go.
But still, it's like, I would want to live. You know,
regardless. Yeah, I'd be like, you know what? I'm 18. Give me the fucking transfusion. Bye.
Right, right. So, you know, for our fellow LGBTQ members in the state of Arkansas, we see you.
Call your representatives.
Call your representatives.
You've write them.
Write them. Mm-hmm. You know, reach out to other
write
people.
Them. I thought he said ride them. I was like, you know.
I mean, if they're cute, I might. But, you know, just make sure that you.
Also, vote Brandt out as soon as you can. Please, seriously. God.
But it's also Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas gave us Bill Clinton. So, I mean, you have the capability of finding someone that's sort of kind of capable of running your state. I'm just saying. But, you know, we see you. We see you and, you know, make your voices heard. Don't stop fighting. Go out there and, you know, push back on laws like this and make your voices heard because... you know, sometimes good necessary trouble is always good, you know, it's, you got to do what you have to do, period. Mm-hmm. You know, it affects you. You're living in that state. Those laws will clearly like immediately affect how you are treated when you go into a medical facility. So just make sure that you're aware of what's happening and, fight.
I also do believe that, you know, if a law is passed like that, it gives people the opportunity to say no, I think. Even though they have taken their oath. But the reality is, if there is something wrong, don't not, like, go to the hospital. Go see a doctor.
Right.
And you will be treated. You will be taken care of.
Right. If you're refused at one hospital, go to another. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're dying and, you know, you have no choice but to go to the hospital that the ambulance brought you to, mm-hmm. Then that becomes an issue. But clearly, this shouldn't be happening.
Correct.
Period. You know, as a human, you walk into a place that offers healthcare services and there's something wrong with you. It is their responsibility to provide you that service.
Can you imagine the gay doctors or the people within the LGBTQ plus community in Arkansas being like, why the fuck is this bill even being proposed?
Right. And I'm sure that that's exactly what they're doing. And so, and see, this is why it's important. So there's a network of doctors, right? LGBTQ doctors. Mm-hmm. And do we have that link or that information readily available? I know that you're so good at finding this stuff for me. But the reason why we're going to disclose this is because even if you live in a state like Arkansas, where they just passed this and all it needs is the governor's signature, you can find doctors in your area that may be able to treat you because they are looking out for either the gay community, either they're an ally or they're part of the community themselves, and they make it a point to ensure that their brothers and sisters in the community are safe. So, you know, did you?
So one of them is glma.org. That's a GLMA, Health Professionals Advancing LGBTQ Equality. On this website, you can find a provider near you, hopefully. But you can also find a lot of other resources, not only for immediate needs, but mental health and all of that as well.
So that's good to know. So my heart is with you, Arkansas, to the community there. Just like I said, call your representatives. You've got several Democratic House legislators that are on your side. Go out there. Mm-hmm. Push for your rights, because if you don't, they're not going to do it for you. All right. So we've got a story. Nick, darling, you want to talk about this little story? What state is this from?
Which one are you talking about?
The first one you have on the list, the little brave young boy.
So this is out of Florida.
Oh, another Florida man.
But this is like a happy but sad story at the same time. Right. So two young boys urge lawmakers to stop being bullies and stop hurting their trans friends. So two brave school students called Liam and Evan Oliver have asked state legislators in Florida to stop being bullies and reject legislation that targets their trans friends. The siblings from Florida spoke out against a proposal bill that would ban trans athletes from competing in school sports, school sport teams that align with their gender identity. They went on to talk about one of their friends who not only faces bullying every day, his name is Sam, and he faces bullying every day, but now he is facing getting kicked off his sports team, and this is one of his friends. And then the younger Evan, I believe, said, let me find it. It was like on point. Evan took the podium after his brother arguing that the proposed bill targets trans girls and it's unwanted by most of the public in Florida, he said. It's so unfair to give trans kids more trouble than they already have. I was taught growing up that you should stop hurting people if you already are. Don't hurt trans girls. Vote no.
Oh, my God. Little Evan, I just want to like go down to Florida, find you, and of course, with your parents' permission, give you a big hug, because it is youth like this that gives me hope for the future, right? And you start thinking about all the things that, you know, adults, especially adults in our previous generations, I'm not talking about millennials or zennials or whatever you want to call them, or Gen Z, or I'm talking about, you know, these baby boomers and traditionalists that existed in a time where it was okay to beat the community, the LGBT community, into submission without thinking or blinking an eye. Right. And I have hope, and I see a very bright light at the end of a tunnel that, you know, we thought we would never see the light at.
Mm-hmm. How amazing is it? We've had this conversation on the show, and that we've struggled to find the words to, you know, navigate what it means to be trans and in high school or middle school and wanting to play sports, right? So we've personally struggled, but now we see these two young boys standing up and saying, I don't care, I want to play with my friend. Right. And they deal with plenty every day. They don't need it from you. And I'm standing up to say that because that is important to me. And then on top of that, Democrat Congresswoman from Orlando, Anna Escamini. Escamani? Yeah, that's what I think it is. Okay. Shared the video and said, we're fighting right alongside you. So there is hope in Florida. And to see these two boys stand up and really, really say something very important, especially right now, it was very powerful.
Right. So, and just to let you know, Florida is one of the 30 plus states that have introduced legislation to ban transgender men and women from playing in sports in school. And it's disturbing because to think that, you know, not too long ago, we had a president inaugurated and on day one signed an executive order reversing the trans military ban, for example, that the previous administration had placed in, you know, made active. And it's just disturbing to see that we have the highest levels of our administration now condemning attacks on trans folks. And then the state said, well, fuck you. If you are not going to affirm our beliefs at the national level, then we'll do it at the state level.
And also, like, all of these people that are making these laws, listen to the people they're affecting.
Right.
They're affecting these kids. And if these kids are willing to stand up and say, this is a dumb law, and you're not actually affecting us, what you're doing is bullying people.
Right.
And they're already being bullied every day. So why do they have to hear it from you? Right. Your job is to protect everybody and protect the trans community and protect the LGBTQ plus community and to protect everybody in my goddamn school.
Right. And you know what the sad thing is? That most of the state senators or legislators that are introducing these bills into their legislative bodies are still those that believe that the thou who shall not be named won the election, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So they still believe that he won the election, and they're still peddling and pushing this bullshit. And it's disturbing.
Yeah.
Nonetheless. All right. Well, listen, we have been, that was an incredible half hour. Yes. Time flew, right? Time flies when you're on Prozac. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is that as soon as I get my shit together, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we have more Dish. So here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. But they're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land in the first place. But they're coming just the same. Station where we can get on that train, head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming, well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming just the same.
Welcome back from the break. That was Wastelands by the incredible Amanda Barrick. Her album, Wastelands, is available on all the major music streaming services. Make sure that you go check it out and support a queer artist, because that's what we do. So anyway, we're back. We've got more stories. And as we said, there's a slew of states that are just doing some crazy shit. And now we're going to throw the not so great state of Tennessee under the bus. The fuckity fuck fuck thing is what comes to mind when I think of some of the things that are passing. So the Tennessee's governor has just signed a bill to ban trans youth in sports into law. So that was one of the legislations that passed in that Senate and in the legislature in that state, and then he signed it. So Governor Bill Lee, he's a Republican, he signed Senate Bill 228 into legislation yesterday, banning trans people in the state from competing in middle or high school sports in accordance to their gender identity. This comes just one day after the Arkansas governor signed a similar anti-trans law that bans trans kids and women from playing in sports in accordance to with their gender identity from elementary to collegiate level sports. And Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves was the first to sign a ban of trans people in sports this year.
So, all right, so pause. Hold on.
Yeah.
Tennessee is one of those big football states, right?
I think I'm not a football person, so
this is an update.
What?
The Arkansas bill that we talked about earlier was signed by the governor.
Let's see. This was published March 27th. I
just double checked.
Yeah. So then he signed it into law. Look at that fucking asshole.
Fuck you.
No, we were talking about Arkansas. We were talking about EMTs and healthcare workers being allowed to discriminate against people in the LGBTQ community. But you're right. We did mention that they had it. It passed the House and the Senate there, and it was pending to be signed. But evidently this other article, which, you know, Tennessee, of course, also confirms now that it was signed into law by the Arkansas governor. So there's that. That's an update. Not to be left behind, of course, Tennessee, you know, you've got to do one, you got to do them all. They have introduced new legislation into their legislature that would ban books that mention LGBTQ people in public schools. So interestingly enough,
that means they're going to have to take Shakespeare out, because he was confirmed as a bi author.
I want to go back We're not done. We're not done with your first story yet.
No, no, no. I'm just throwing them both on the table. So, okay. So we have now confirmed a ban on trans athletes from, you know, participating in school sports if they're trying to do so based on the gender in which they feel they are, right? And then now this incredibly horrible legislation that introduces laws that would ban LGBTQ people from being discussed in books in schools. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
So you were saying Tennessee comes right after the fact that they banned trans girls from playing in sports from elementary to college. Right. On top of that, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves
right.
was the first to sign a ban on trans people in sports this year.
Right, they were the first state. So,
although following footsteps of Idaho, who made the ban last year a law.
Right, so here's the thing. So we have over 30 states right now that have legislation in place or introduced into their bodies that would ban transgender men and women from playing sports in school. Three states right now, or four, have already passed those laws. So, important to note, though, that although these states are having a field day, or, you know, a celebratory parade, if you want to call it, of passing these laws that are affecting our transgender brothers and sisters, it is important to note that, you know, three or four weeks ago, we talked about the fact that the White House press secretary was having a press briefing. Thank you. See, and she reiterated that trans rights are human rights, right? She warned state legislatures that Friday when that were passing and targeting transgender youth that it was against the law. And she cited the U.S. Supreme Court's decision the previous year in Bostock versus Clayton County that determined anti-transgender discrimination is a form of sex discrimination, thus illegal in the workforce under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. And although the ruling didn't purport to address sports, the logic behind the decision that has broad applications to all laws against sex discrimination, including Title IX of the Education Amendment Act of 1972, laws seeking to target transgender youth would seem to flout that Bostock decision as well as the 14th Amendment in or to the U.S. Constitution. Saki went on to also invoked the executive order that Biden had signed on his first day in office seeking to implement the Bostock decision, making it clear it applies to students in the context of bathrooms, locker rooms, and sports. So what I take that to mean is that while all these states are having a field day right now, passing all of these legislations to ban transgender men and women from participating in sports, if a lot of these come up the judicial system, there is a high possibility they could be struck down. Mm-hmm. Given the makeup of the court, though, it's going to be a very, very large task at hand, right? Because you have, I think it's five conservatives versus three liberal justices after Justice Ginsburg passed away, unfortunately. And so it really puts into question whether or not this would have judicial muster, in a sense, right? And so we're in a very, very weird space right now. And it's all a matter of just waiting to see, one, when the states will start filing lawsuits against these so-called legislation and see what happens, right? Because it's going to have to go up the judicial branches.
It says here that a federal court already issued an injunction against the legislation for Tennessee.
So, and it goes to show you, but do you think that Tennessee, so they issue the injunction, but do you think that Tennessee is going to abide by that until it goes into like a higher court? Do we know what level?
They have no choice.
Well, you know, some of these people, I mean, think about Jim Crow era and all the shit that the Supreme Court said they couldn't do and they still did anyway.
But let's think about this like logically, right? So basically what they're saying is they are requiring people, coaches or schools to say, I need to see your birth certificate. I need to know what gender you were assigned at birth.
Right.
How abrasive is that for somebody who is trans?
That's
every
horrible.
Article I have seen recently about this ends with suicide prevention.
Right.
Information on how to, you know, get help if you need help. Like, right. The reason that we keep seeing these articles and the reason that it always ends with suicide prevention and suicide rates and how to support, you know, a trans individual and the family is because what these people are doing is really, I mean, it's literally what every kid is doing to every other kid in school.
Right. They're mentally and
they are making them feel less than. They are making them feel less than American. They are making them
less than human. I mean, they're being tortured.
100%. No article regarding the LGBTQ plus community should ever have to end with, if you are thinking about suicide.
Right.
If you need help. Here right. you go. We need to stop that shit.
Right.
And the reality is, every article I've seen with all of these bills that are being passed, we have to end it with all of that crap, because the reality is, these kids are not just being bullied and put down by their, you know, the other kids in the school and the teachers.
They're mentally
bullied by their legislators. They're being bullied by their priests. They're being bullied
by the state.
By the state, by their mom and dad, who knows?
They're literally mentally and emotionally being tortured. And it is disgusting and it is disturbing. And my hope is that one of these cases lands itself on the Supreme Court and that the Supreme Court rules that it is unconstitutional, right? And so we have, like I said, Jen Psaki had cited a couple of instances in where the law has affirmed that trans people are trans rights are human rights, right? And that president, the current president believes that, his administration believes that, his appointments to his cabinet affirm that in large ways. And I think that, you know, people really need to step back a moment and realize that these are humans that you are dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. These are humans that you are terrorizing. These are humans that you are putting unnecessary stress and burden on when, you know, they don't do that to you.
100%. I mean, I can't equate myself to a trans individual, but what I can do is say that when I played football in, you know, middle school and high school, and I finally came out, my teammates were like, oh, thank God. And super supportive.
And that's great.
And that is great. But imagine if there was legislation that said, oh, if you're gay and you want to play football, you have to change in a different locker room.
Right. That would be horrible.
That would be horrible.
And you probably would throw a shit fit anyway.
But it would also give fuel, and it would add fuel to a fire to people that want to denigrate everybody that is gay or is trans. It's like, oh, well, you know, our state representative says, like, you shouldn't be in this locker room or you shouldn't be on our team, so I'm going to go with that and just make you feel like shit even more.
So, Jen, prior to working where you work now, you did a lot of support services work. You supported communities through organizations and programs that were targeted towards youth. Have you seen, or in your time while you were doing that work, you providing social services to youth and adults, did you ever encounter trans youth?
Actually, when I was when we were running actually the youth group
right.
at the New Haven Pride Center, I mentored a trans youth. Granted, parents and he had a great support system.
Right.
Prior to coming out, yes, there were issues, and it was mostly he not knowing how to approach his parents in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Although we've kind of lost touch over the years, I know that he's gone through surgeries and transitioned to where he wants to be. I don't think we ever really, I mean, because of the situations, I don't think any of the kids that we mentored had to deal with the bullshit that these states are putting into law now.
Right.
Because it wasn't talked about as much back then.
Right.
And I think that kind of was like, you know, don't see it, don't talk about it, it'll go away type of thing. And I think that's the main thing, that now that the LGBT community is more outspoken and looking and demanding these basic human rights, now we're seeing it go into legislation. And then we have all these, you know, ancient Democrats, not Democrats, but all these ancient politicians that are in power that have been there for years, just lining their pockets. And of course, they're going to go with, you know, the people that pay them. Mm-hmm. Let's be blunt about it. Yeah. You know, major corporations, and they go by their influences and what's going to give them
the money
at the end of the day. So
to keep them in power.
Yeah, to keep them in power. And I mean, that's why I think term sessions should be put in place. Right. For a lot of these folks that are there in their 70s and 80s and could barely walk into the chambers to deal with certain laws, but they want to make decisions for a nation and for people that are progressing beyond their beliefs. It's sad. It's just sad to see, you know, social services. You know, we did counsel from time to time, and right. We did sit in groups and discuss issues they were having. But honestly, the stuff that the kids we dealt with at that time wasn't as severe as what we're seeing now.
Right, right.
It's very disheartening.
So both you and your wife have on several occasions and in many different capacities service youth, specifically LGBTQ youth.
Yes.
You yourself provided, you opened your home to LGBTQ youth that were displaced. Yes. Because of, you know, either family issues, being homeless.
Yes.
What would you say to these young people living in states like Tennessee or in states like, you know, Louisiana or any other state right now that is looking to pass these kind of laws that could help in a sense? Like, what do they do? It's a loaded question.
It is a loaded question.
But I'm asking you because you've worked in this field before, yeah. and there's a lot of restrictions when it comes to being able to help children, specifically children who are underage in most states.
Yes.
Right.
I think with us, what kind of, I guess the way it worked out with us, we never made it about them being LGBTQ. Or anything for that matter. It was just you know, he's displaced or she's displaced. They need a place to crash.
Right.
Sure, we got room. Come over. You know, we knew the reason behind the displacement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We knew what was happening. It wasn't the topic. Hey, I know you don't have any place to stay. If you need to crash here, crash here. Well, just do it for the night if you want. And we never really set any guidelines as for how long they were going to be there. Or, you know, we had one person that lived with us for almost 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, you know, they kind of became part of the household. So it wasn't, I'm helping you out. It was like, hey, you're staying here. You're living here. You're helping us, you know? And that's just the way it was. We've never really made it a point about pointing out why we're helping out. We knew what the issue was. My wife, you know, my wife has a master's in social services. I have a bachelor's. That's our degree. Counseling's our degree. But to be honest, it's just being human, mm-hmm. being empathetic towards others.
Right.
You know, I have four girls, you know, now I have seven grandchildren. I wouldn't want any of them to feel like they can't come to me and talk to me if they feel a certain way.
Right.
You know, whether it's just regular anyday issue or they feel confused. So there's always that, you know, for me, conscious, you know, just being empathetic, being a human being.
You know, it's that's one of the qualities that I've always admired about you, that you, both you and your wife, and I think that your family is very welcoming, and you enjoy the fact that you help others, right? And you do that out of the kindness of your heart. But what's troubling is that there are certain states, like, for example, in Nevada, we have had two different guests from that state in Nevada. Utah? I'm sorry. It's not Nevada. Utah. We've had two different people, actually three different people from the state of Utah. We had Amanda Barrick, which was a daughter of Linda Stay. And then we also had the Yasu group that joined us here on the show. And one of the most disturbing things that
I heard, Mama Dragons and Dragon Dads.
Dragon Dads. Daddy Dragons. That's what you used to call them. one of the most disturbing things that we learned from the state of Utah was that because of the Mormon faith and because of the large influence that they have on the laws that are being made in that state, a lot of youth would get kicked out of their house and other adults or people could not take them in because the parents could then press charges against them.
Legalities, yeah.
Right? For taking in people and youngsters that they threw out of their own homes and threw out into the street. You know, the rate of suicide in the state of Utah is three times higher in the LGBT community than in any other state in the U.S.
That's sad.
And homelessness was an issue too. And when you think about what they were trying to do in that state, I was just like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't fathom the fact that a parent, someone who you grew up loving and who loved you until they found out that you were gay, can kick you out and then turn around and press charges against an adult that wants to provide a roof over your head so that you're not living under a bridge or migrating to a state like California to then go prostitute yourself because that's the only way that you can find a bed for the night or be able to feed yourself.
Yeah, and I think sometimes for us, it was a bit easier sometimes dealing with things. I mean, I have four girls. If I had any sons, I think parents may have reacted slightly different.
Right.
There's always a bias against boys or men in general when it comes to that stuff too. So you have to really thread lightly when you do certain things.
But that's what
and it's unfortunately because, again, the other thing is, you know, close friends, family know I'm bi. I don't make it a point to announce.
You don't broadcast it?
I don't broadcast it like I do now.
You didn't know.
Oops. But the point being is that I always feared that if any of these children's parents knew that, they may assume I'm luring their children to the house. Mm-hmm. You understand? So being in social services and being a mandated reporter for the state, I also had to be very careful of how we did certain things. We were sort of low key providing services, but we weren't.
Right.
I was just allowing someone to stay at home, you know, but it's just, you know, how they say working through the red tape.
Right.
And that's basically what we did. You know,
you know, sometimes that red tape is the difference between life and death for some of these youngsters.
Yes.
And I wish that, you know, grown ass fucking folks would understand that when you're kicking out your child who's may be part of the LGBTQ+ community, you're literally throwing them out in the street and feeding them to the wolves is what you're doing.
Yes.
And if it's not for people and organizations out there that are making every effort to ensure that they survive, someone that you brought into the world could easily be gone tomorrow, given how dangerous it is out there on the streets in some of these states. And it just breaks my heart to see that grown folks, and like you said, these are old ass, like people who are still stuck in, you know,
In their ages,
and you know, progressives have far gone beyond the point of their capabilities of lawmakers to see the changes before them mm-hmm. and what's needed in this society and in this time and in this generation. Yep. And it's hard. It's just crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So tangent, but to go back a little bit,
let's go back
to the Tennessee story we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So the proposal also comes with the Tennessee General Assembly continues to consider a law that would allow cisgender students to sue their school if not given a reasonable accommodation if they don't want to share restrooms with trans people. On top of that, the supermajority Republicans mm-hmm. in the General Assembly, both chambers,
it is Tennessee after all, mm-hmm. so
they it's are, expected. They have another proposal out there to include and to make the Bible the state's official book.
Lord have mercy.
What the fuck?
Well,
separation of church and state, one. Mm. And then two, to get back to banning books mentioning LGBTQ people from public schools. Mm-hmm. So you had brought that up. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. So
the Bible does mention LGBTQ. They just don't add it anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you're not wrong.
I know.
So the in regards to the ban for books that mention LGBTQ people in public schools, it is worth noting that there are several states, California, city of Chicago, so I would assume the state of Illinois, Massachusetts, and a couple of others have already had and introduced legislation 3-4 years ago that made it the law to teach LGBTQ history in their public schools. So the fact that now in 2021, you have the state of Tennessee.
But why is that so important?
It's important because we're human. It's important because it allows students to learn about our history, right? Whether you're a student that you don't have to be gay to learn about our history and find it fascinating. It's you have to keep in mind that in less than 30 years, LGBTQ rights have exponentially gone through the roof. When you think about marriage equality, when you think about well let's start with civil unions first, right? And then you think about marriage equality and all of these laws that were that or eventually efforts that became law, the law of the land. LGBTQ rights has been one of the fastest, most lightning fast progressive efforts that successfully did what they opted and said they were going to do, right?
You cannot erase history. When you ignore something, it repeats itself, right?
Right.
And so when we look at the fact that there are some schools that are finally teaching LGBTQ history and making sure that their textbooks, whether it's a page or a chapter or whatever it is, include that, you're giving the student body, you're giving that individual that moment to realize that he is not alone. They are not alone. Right. She is not alone. They have a deep, beautifully rich history
right.
that they need to learn about and be a part of
right.
and that they are embraced and they are going to be okay.
Right.
Because we as a community continue to fight and we are okay and right. we have a history that needs to be shared so that these kids, even if you're not gay or part of the community, you need to learn so that you know what that person that you just tore down, what everybody before them did to get them to where they are today.
Right. For them to be able to have the courage to express themselves and affirm that they are gay, lesbian, whatever they are and however they want to be addressed, whether it's they, them, she, her, he, him. We fought very hard to get to where we are as a community today. And I don't want my community to forget that. And that also don't forget that there's still a fight to be fought. Right. We still have, again, 30 plus states that have introduced legislation against one of the most affected subgroups of our community. Mm-hmm. And we need to fight for them, just like we fight for any other one.
There should be no kid that hears from a teacher, 1 in 10 of you will be gay, and left it at that.
No, and tell me why. Tell me why, and what does that mean, and how do I play a part in this society? right? Where do I fall in all of this? And what rights do I have? And well, what when support you don't do
know,
I have?
When you don't know what the gay community is about, when you don't know where to get support and help, when you don't know where to turn if you're feeling a certain way, right, and you look at somebody that you're supposed to respect, mm-hmm, and they're like one in 10 of you, knowing that you may be one of the one of the 10.
Did this happen to you?
This 100% happened to me. 100%.
So, and but here you are. But here you are.
You know what I see too? I mean, first of all, fuck you for doing that in a classroom full of students. Now you're talking about you're doing this to kids.
Yeah.
That are hormonal
and scared.
That are going through puberty. There's shit happening. You're figuring, you know.
I ate pussy because of that goddamn asshole.
So you were bi for a while.
I wouldn't go that far.
She played for the other team. There's no balls in that game.
Did you pitch your nose for you?
I don't know what I did, but I got through it.
All right, well, proud of you.
But, you know, it's crazy because, you know, you're talking to teens.
Right.
That are, you know, the hormones are through the roof at that age. Yeah. You're in high
Don't
school.
Tell them who they're gonna be. Yeah. Show them who they can be.
Well, yeah. Right. I mean, why the fuck would you do that? If I hear some shit like that happens with my grandkids,
I would bust fucking. Yeah.
See, my girls, I didn't have to worry. I was their teacher. I taught them. My wife worked at the school as well at some point. So for us, it was different. Mm-hmm. And with our girls, we were very open. And they came in and joined us at the youth group at the Pride Center whenever we were there. So mm-hmm, they experienced what we did. They have a very good, you know, moral compass, mm-hmm, I would say, because of what we did with them. Nothing was ever forced. Mm-hmm. Nothing was ever forced.
100%. I think when teachers present things like the 1 in 10 situation that I just explained, mm-hmm, you are you're
pigeonholing.
You're putting shame on something, and you're making individuals look around the room and feel shameful about who they may not be. Yeah. Whereas if we were given the literature and we were given the information about everything, then it's not about who you're gonna be. It's not about that one person. It's about everybody learning about a community.
Right.
And when you as a group learn about something,
right,
you develop empathy not only that group, but you also develop knowledge, and it helps, you know, everybody move forward in a positive way instead of just being like, hey, one of you's gonna be gay.
Right. Yeah. You know, and it's funny because, you know, there's always a saying that my mother used to say, and she would say it in Spanish, but she would say, you know, tell me what you've learned in life, and I will tell you what you're capable of, in a sense, right? And so if we teach people to have empathy and we teach people to learn of others, you'll have an understanding beyond yourself that will allow you to look beyond what you believe and understand that other people have also an opportunity to believe what they believe. Mm-hmm. But when we come into a point in where we're interacting in society, we need to find a way to be able to find common ground and in a sense be able to exist with each other, even if we believe something different, mm-hmm, right? Because we all have an opportunity and a right to exist.
Yeah.
And whether I believe what you believe or you believe what I believe, when I go home, you don't affect me.
Right. But you also, like, as a, you know, when it comes to the educational system, when they do amazing work, and I would never say anything negative about them, but their role in life is to provide history, knowledge. It's to provide paths for people,
right?
Not a path that you're afraid to go down,
right?
Not a path that you don't want to talk about. Not the path that your parents want you to go down. They are supposed to provide you with all of the tools and the information to pick the path that's right for you.
Right.
And with that, everybody around you knows those same paths, and they support whatever path you take.
Right. like I've always said, give me the information. Let me decide what I want to do with it. Mm-hmm. Right. And what path I decide I want to go. But going back to this Tennessee proposed law in Tennessee. So the Republican state representative, Bruce Giffey, he's a Republican, as mentioned, is the person who introduced the bill that would ban public schools from using books that mention LGBTQ people. The legislation is labeled HB 800. It would ensure that public charter schools shall not locally adopt or use in public schools of this state textbooks or instructional material or supplemental instructional materials that promote, normalize, support, or address lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issues or lifestyles according to the text that was used to propose this law. And so basically what that means is you're eradicating any mention of us, people, humans, from being mentioned. And we got into a very, very involved conversation on how that affects us each individually when we're in school, being singled out or being told that you're less than or not having any representation at all, which makes you feel like there's something wrong with you, mm-hmm. which then perpetuates that constant behavior in humans who experience this type of hatred against them from considering things like suicide or considering things like, you know, doing drugs or going down a path mm-hmm. that really wouldn't have been one had you had the support that you needed all along.
Taking away that information is providing a platform of hate.
Right.
And providing that platform for individuals that were taught that hate, right? So if you take away the information that these young individuals can learn, then that hate will grow and those kids will continue to get bullied and continue to not feel empowered enough to say, right. Hey, I'm okay with who I am. You may not like it, but that's on you.
Right.
And because I'm okay with who I am, I'm a stronger individual.
Right. Right. The other thing that was mentioned in the story, which, by the way, was published on LGBTQNation.com, was that it will be considered by the Education Instructional Subcommittee on March 30th. So in tomorrow. And if signed into law, it would go into effect during the next school year. Just this year, the state has passed bills that would allow adoption agencies to discriminate against LGBTQ parents. They've banned transgender youth from playing school sports, which we just mentioned with the previous story adjacent to this. I'm telling you, Tennessee's on a fucking roll. And another bill is under consideration that would make the Bible, as you said, the official book of the state. So, you know, my fellow LGBTQ brothers and sisters in Tennessee, watch your back and mobilize. Fight back. You have the power. You have the voice. You have the will. If history has proven, the LGBT community comes out on top every single time. So, you know, stand strong. I believe that in the end, we will prevail. So, interesting, but horrible, horrible, like, news from Tennessee. I'll never visit that state. I'm sorry. There's no need. Sorry if you have any listeners in Tennessee. We love you, but, you know, not going there.
Funny story.
Huh?
I drove to Tennessee just after high school with my best friend. He was accepted into Vanderbilt University. Mm. And we drove down. I took the bus back home eventually, but funniest thing that happened is we got to Tennessee and we went to a Fuddruckers to eat.
Fuddruckers.
Yes. And
I suppose it's better than come and go.
Yeah.
Is it though?
Waitress comes over. She's, you know, we're speaking in Spanish and she's confused as hell. And we look over at her and we start talking to her in English. And she's like, oh, where are you fellas from? And we're like, oh, we're from New York. Oh, no, but where are you from? You're speaking a different language. And we're like, oh, we're Puerto Rican. She's like, oh, that's what you folks look like.
Oh, she nasty. And how did that make you feel?
Yeah, I looked at my boy. I was just fresh out of high school. I didn't give two fucks at the time. I looked at my boy. My boy looked at me, and we were like, "Are you going to take our order or what?" Like, just feed me, bitch. No,
but, I cannot.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah, and I was like, "Whatever." But yeah, that was That's been my only time in Tennessee.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy though.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. It's
pretty limited, but yeah. I thought that was funny.
You know, my brother did some work down in Knoxville. So maybe Knoxville could be, I think it was Knoxville. Where's the Opryland Hotel? Can you Google that? No, because I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a quick story. So when I was 13, I left Puerto Rico. And both of my brothers stayed behind with my mother. I came to live with my grandmother. And then shortly after, my brother was like, peace out. I mean, if my little 13-year-old brother can leave and just Nashville. Go live with someone else, I am leaving. Is it Nashville? So he ended up like taking this offer that they gave him. They were looking for workers to go to the Opryland Hotel in evidently Nashville and to work. And so he went out there to like Nashville to work. What?
We're not recording.
That's okay. I have it here.
Okay.
That's why I recorded here. So
I'm just like, what happened was.
What happened was. That's okay. We'll be fine. So he ended up going to Nashville and he was there for like almost a year. And then like, he was like, I got to get out of here, man. This place is just too fucking crazy for me and way too like judgmental and prejudiced and racist. And he was out. He was out. And then he came up to Connecticut to live with me. And then he's been here ever since. But he was out there for like a good almost a year. Wow. Working in this hotel that was looking for Puerto Ricans. Apparently, they took a boatload of Puerto Ricans right off the island and brought them to Nashville and put them up so that they could work the hotel.
Yeah.
It was a weird thing. I don't understand it, but it happened. But yeah.
That sounds real fucked up.
No Tennessee for me.
They do that all the time. They bring a lot of Latinos up here to Ohio and they're constantly going to Puerto Rico and they do...
Recruitment,
and they bring people from Puerto Rico up to work farms and factories, and I have a bunch of family that's up that way now.
So working. Interestingly enough,
the difference is they're not illegal.
No, right.
You know, which is what a lot of these places are looking for. But yeah, it's still BS. They bullshit pay. You know, they try to take advantage.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
They believe, you know, since they don't speak the language 100%, they don't know what the hell they're doing. But
So interestingly enough, in today, the minimum wage in Puerto Rico right now is $6.55 an hour.
Yes.
And so when you think about them going and recruiting and bringing people over, it affords them an opportunity to pay them, let's say.
They offer 15, I think, some places. 12.
12. And people would be like, oh, my God, that's so much money because it's like double what you would make at home. But the cost of living in Tennessee is like super high. So it's like in Nashville, in a city, like in downtown.
It's way higher in New Haven than it is in Nashville, Tennessee.
But nonetheless, when you're making $6 an hour and you go to Tennessee to make 12, you can't live on that. Right. Unless you're like living with like two or three people in a.
Nice. I mean, when I lived in Louisville, Kentucky, I had a beautiful two-bedroom apartment, and I paid literally $400, including utilities, everything.
How long ago was that?
She ain't that old.
No, it was like...
Try not to insinuate she's being carbon dated.
That was
like 10 just years to get ago?
It's about 10 years ago, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, because I mean, you know. You were,
but still, everybody's moving Midwest and down south because it's cheaper. It's
cheaper, yeah.
Yeah, it's cheap. But
so is the pay rate. So,
Right. So,
don't get me wrong. I know that.
So, anyway, that's all I have for Tennessee. That's the only affiliation I've ever had with the state. I don't think I would ever go visit Tennessee. I mean, if these are the kind of laws that you're passing as a member of the LGBT community, I don't want to support you. And if I ever had to drive down south because I'm going to another fucked up state like Florida, I probably wouldn't stop at one of your rest stops and give you my money. I'd just keep going. You know, I would make sure that I fill up in the previous state, which is Virginia.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'll just fill
Virginia
up in Virginia.
Is just outside of Tennessee.
I'll go right straight through Tennessee. There's no need for me to do that. I can listen to country on the radio. I don't have to stop in Nashville and go visit a nice little pub and see y'all sing. If y'all can't get it right with my community, and that goes for any other state that decides that they're going to start passing laws that are affecting members of my community, you don't deserve my money. Mm-hmm. I'll go elsewhere.
That being said, I would like to put on a pair of cowboy boots and visit Nashville at some point.
I didn't have my pink cowboy boots.
So we're going to end the show with a very, I would say it's a sad but also very endearing story, mm-hmm. that Nick is going to share with us. And I will let you take it on. Wait, stop.
There's something so relaxing about that.
I know. Her voice gets deep too.
Jang Young Jin is the only known gay man to defect North Korea. That's why he left. His daring escape made international news and shed light on homosexuality and the perceived dictatorship. But years later, Jang had finally found love in the unlikely place of where?
New York?
North Korea?
No. Tennessee. No.
Stop. Was it Tennessee?
No, it was the U.S.
I was going to shit my pants.
It was the U.S. So Jang left North Korea, and he reached South Korea. And he says before he reached South Korea, he had never really understood the concept of homosexuality. He didn't know what a gay man was. When he got there, he... went to several hospitals and was trying to kind of like figure out what was wrong with him, because he didn't quite get that he was gay. And so finally the concept of homosexuality came to him, and like he learned all about it. But what's beautiful about this story is that through getting out of North Korea, going through everything he went through with all the hospitalizations in South Korea, he finally found love and is getting married in the United States to his Korean boyfriend that he met on a dating site.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Cute. And beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you see, this is when you fight hard, you fight for your rights. You can defect from a country that would murder you if they knew who you really, really were, and gives you the opportunity to come here or to any other country that affirms the right to have same-sex marriages and find the love of your life and reinvent yourself in a way that brings you peace, happiness, and everything that you as a human being deserve.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick... add on, just before we sign off, I know we were bashing a couple of states, but I have a state that we should shout out, Pennsylvania. Actually, it's Upper Darby, Pennsylvania, where they, a small town there, which voted unanimously to repeal an all anti-LGBTQ law. They found that had been long forgotten.
Right.
So just a quick,
finding that law, they found a couple of more.
Another law.
There's another law that can't be reversed
for.
It's some antique. I was reading that story and it's interesting that you mentioned that. But yeah, it's good for you, Pennsylvania. What county in Pennsylvania?
Upper Darby.
Upper Darby, PA.
Like our Derby, but with an A.
Darby. Upper Darby. It's. That's another state that just, I don't know. I love Philly. I love going to like, you know, like the West, like the West, West, like
you almost, just like a cheesesteak.
Yes.
That and like, but go West, West, like border Ohio, middle Pennsylvania, even where Allentown is, there's nothing there.
No.
I have been there, done that.
Like the only thing that I ever,
Allentown's like a horse and buggies,
right? But believe it or not, I think Allentown is one of their bigger areas. Like
I've literally been areas. To Allentown,
and then there's Dorney Park and Wild Water Kingdom is in Allentown, PA. I used to go there as a child all the time.
Yeah, that's ages ago.
Yeah, I know. We're talking carbon dating, but anyway, good for you, PA. Good mm-hmm. for you. All right, Trish. Mama Kim's Minute?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I've got to scroll. I'm scrolling.
Sorry.
All right, everybody. Here's Mama Kim's Minute. Catholic Church opposed suicide hotline because it included support for LGBTQ people. Fuck them. Number two, new shampoo ad tells the heartwarming story of trans girl raised by lesbian moms. Number three, Netflix announces gay holiday rom-com. Single all the way. Tom, that one was made for you. Number four.
I hate her.
Number four, which we talked about, is Arkansas governor signs most extreme and deadly bill attacking LGBTQ plus healthcare.
Yeah, it just boils my blood every time I hear some fucking governor in some state attacking our community. But anyway, fuck you all. Not all, but you know, anyone that wants to hurt me and my peoples. There you go. All right, well, ladies and gents, on this day in gay history, are we doing the brought to you by doesn't matter. No. Yeah, it's brought to you by me, by us, Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast.
The intern.
And the intern, of course. When? On March 29th, 2009, where in the great state of New York, in New York City, Oscar Wilde Memorial Bookstore in Greenwich Village shuts down due to a financial troubles. It opened back in 1967. So it was one of the first LGBTQ bookstores to close back in 2009. So that's our On This Day in Gay History. So I want to thank you all for joining us on today's episode. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By doing so, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your favorite device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a pledge donation, which can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Stop making changes. No, I'm kidding. That's okay. I should mute this. And I think that's all I have for you. Jay?
Next week, we are back with Dr. G with the next installment of Tales from the Tale.
That's right.
And his new product.
Yes. We've got some new stuff coming out from, Future Method, and we're excited to talk about it next week. And Dr. G is going to do that with us.
We're going to have a live presentation of how to use it.
No.
So Nick did say he was going to bend over and like start scrubbing his nobody butt on camera.
Nobody needs to see that. All right. Thank you to Jay for joining us once again. We love having you here. Thank you. Stay forever, Tom.
Yeah. And now here is Nick with his weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there who want to keep that butthole on point. Yes, we're talking about the Future Method.
Get your discount for the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per butthole.
Yas, queen. Okay. Is it my turn?
No, Jay needs to.
So we need to put a rubber on it?
Nailed it. Yes.
That's right. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com. Is that correct, Nick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the audio podcast, it is also available at a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
All right. Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at Gay Talk 2.0 at Gay Talk 20.com. Tom, it's your turn.
Is it already? Oh, okay. Well, ladies and gents, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. And you can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can answer those for you on the show. The phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. Or if you need all of the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget, we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, that is our show. Ladies and gents, thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.